In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Poor Joseph. Did we sing a hymn about Joseph just now? If there's even a hymn about Joseph in the hymnal, I'm not familiar with it. You know, Joseph is sort of the Rodney Dangerfield of the Holy Family. He just doesn't get any respect, doesn't get much attention, right? Mary gets all the glory, and bless her heart. Now, admittedly, she had to bear Jesus in her womb for 9 months. She undoubtedly nursed Jesus. And I imagine most of the heavy lifting of parenting fell on Mary's shoulders because Joseph was off building houses, right? Bringing home the bacon. Well, it's probably not the right expression for a Jew, but you know what I mean. Joseph isn't even mentioned by name in Mark's gospel. He's mentioned by name only once in John's gospel. So it's a little better in Luke, where he's mentioned four times. I think Joseph needs a new agent. He probably ought to set up his own Facebook page, maybe even get a Twitter account, you know, if Elon Musk will allow that. Now, thank goodness for Matthew's gospel, because as it turns out, in Matthew's gospel, the first two chapters, including the portion that we just heard, Joseph gets star billing. It may not be obvious, but it turns out that if it weren't for Joseph, we might not have Jesus, right? So what do we learn about Joseph from Matthew's gospel that we don't learn in any other of the gospels? Well, first of all, we learn that Joseph is just a really nice guy. I mean, he is a forgiving gentleman. He discovers that his fiance is with child, and he knows he's not the dad. He doesn't throw a hissy fit, doesn't scream and shout and stomp his feet and throw Mary out of the house. No, he decides that he will simply handle the matter quietly, have a quiet departure, not subjecting Mary to shame and ridicule. And that's all the more astonishing, given that at the time, at least in theory, the punishment for Mary's seeming offense would be death by stoning. But, as we heard, God speaks to Joseph in a dream through an angel, and he explains to Joseph what's going on. Yes, your bride is with child, but it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to take her as your wife, and you, Joseph, are to name the child Jesus, which, of course, means God saves. Well, the good news is, Joseph hears God speaking to him through the angel. Joseph believes. Joseph has trust. Joseph sets aside his fears. And he does what the angel asked of him. And he takes Mary as his bride, and he takes Jesus as his own son. And you know what that does? That fulfills the prophecy. If Joseph hadn't done that, Jesus would not have been of the house of David. Right? Joseph is from the house of David, not Mary. And even though usually in the Jewish tradition one's heritage is traced through your mother, not through your father, in this case, I guess God makes an exception, and that makes Jesus of the house of David. And it makes him Jesus, God saves, it makes him Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. And if it hadn't been for Joseph and his faithfulness, Jesus might not have been Jesus. And that's not the end of Joseph's faithfulness and trust in God. A little later, not in this morning's gospel, but after the Magi, the wise men, visit, you remember, Joseph is warned in a dream to take Mary and Jesus out of Dodge, get away before Herod can employ the slaughter of the innocents. And Joseph again does it, takes them off to Egypt, assuring the survival of Jesus. If he hadn't heard that, if he hadn't acted on it, Jesus might not have survived his infancy. And then, a little later after that, after Herod died, once again, God speaks to Joseph in a dream, says it's safe to go back, and Joseph ends up taking Jesus and Mary to Nazareth so we can have Jesus of Nazareth. So, pretty amazing stuff. Joseph, in a sense, allows the birth of the Christ child, Jesus Emmanuel, because he heard God, he trusted God, he believed, and most importantly, he did it. He didn't just say, oh, well, who knows, is that really what I'm supposed to do? He acted. Well, you might guess where I am going with this thought in this sermon. Yeah? Question for us might be, how can we be like Joseph? How can we follow Joseph as a role model in the way we live our lives and what we do? The question is, do we listen for God's voice? Do we hear God's voice? Do we trust God? Do we set our fears aside and do we follow and do what God is calling us to do? Well, you know, as I said, Joseph was a really nice guy, and I think most of us most of the time are nice guys, nice people. But you know, being a Christian is about more than being nice. Yeah? So that's the question. Do we hear, listen, follow, and do what God is calling us to do? I'd say that this last year has been kind of a warm-up exercise, right? You had to trust in God that somehow God was going to see you, this congregation, this parish, through a transition process. And you had to continue to worship and to carry out the mission and ministries of this parish. And you had to have faith that at the end, God would provide. Well, guess what? God has provided. The real test now begins on January 1st, right? Can you all continue to listen to God's word? Can you hear God's word? Can you, together with Paul, discern where God is leading you and this perish? What new mission and ministries may God be calling you all to as Christ Episcopal Church begins a new chapter in its long history? And how together can you and Paul listen for, hear, and follow and carry out God's vision for you and this parish to make you that shining beacon of hope and love in the Bluefield community and above and beyond? So during this closing week of Advent, as we prepare to welcome the Christ child on Christmas Eve, I pray that we all can be like Joseph, that we can have faith and trust in God, that we can put aside our fears and try to do what it is that God would have us do. Now, just a final word here. Did you happen to notice, think about, absorb the collect of the day that I prayed at the beginning of this service? It's a remarkable collect. Let me just point out what I think is so stunning about this collect and how it fits with my message, I hope. At the bottom of page 2, do you see that? That your Son, Jesus Christ, at his coming, may find in us a mansion prepared for himself. I suspect most of us are familiar with that famous passage in John's Gospel where Jesus is trying to explain to the disciples what is going to happen to him. And he says, don't you know that I'm going to prepare a place for you, and in my Father's house there are many mansions, from the King James Version, or many dwelling places from the NRSV. Jesus says he's preparing a mansion for us. In the meantime, our prayer says we're preparing a mansion for Jesus. And where are we preparing that? In us. Individually, collectively, in this parish and beyond. And how do we do that? Well, in part we do it by following Joseph as our role model, but I think most of all we do it through our words, our actions, our love, our forgiveness, by being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the world, right? By bringing Christ, like Joseph, making Christ's birth possible every day. So thanks be to God, Christ is coming. Thanks be to God, through you, Christ is here. Amen.